Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Well, from talented cats to an Irish saint, Breakfast Briefing presenter Shane Beattie is with us in studio to tell us about all the stories. I can assure you that I definitely missed this week. What's going on?
Well, I'm sleep deprived, first of all, after watching the match last night.
Oh, I know. And wasn't it desperate?
It was.
So sad.
There's no way I could go to bed after full time.
No, you couldn't, yeah.
Then extra time, then penalties. So yeah, everyone is just a bit upset today. But anyway, listen, we'll get over it. It is Friday after all. And it's my mother's 80th birthday this weekend.
Oh, congratulations, Mommy Beattie.
Yes, so that's my plan for the weekend. Anyway, yes.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you're going to celebrate and doing something.
Let's talk Cork, first of all, because this is a mad story, which you're saying you didn't hear about. I think this kind of went over a lot of people's heads, which is this incredible story of a teenager in Cork who has developed software capable of identifying sanction-evading vessels and those involved in suspicious activity near critical undersea cables. Now, I don't even understand that sentence, never mind what he did. But basically, the guy is called Sean Fitzgerald, and he has created something that is able to predict the movements of ships attempting to cloak themselves from the normal tracking systems. This guy is only in fourth year.
Like, he's a school student?
Yeah, fourth year St. Brogan's College in Bandon, and he's a finalist now in the Student Enterprise Award programme for his Fleet Monitor project.
Fair play,
so basically what he's able to do is he's developed a system where you can survey the maritime area and track vessels at sea using an automatic identification system transponder data. Now, as I say, I don't really understand it, but I do know that this invention has military experts kind of scratching their heads going, how did we never think of this? The Examiner says that Sean is doing work experience at the National Maritime College of Ireland. He'll probably get a job out of there, out of that there as well.
Don't bother with the leaving cert.
And he developed a system which is being described as the envy of experts in military organisations. And like, NATO will be interested in this. Everyone's interested in this. He said basically he was online trying to see if there were any websites or apps that can track a shadow fleet globally. And when I discovered none existed, I decided if I could build my own. So the software gives alerts when vessels become suspiciously near assets like gas pipelines. I thought this is stuff that we'd have already.
Yeah, sounds like something we should have.
Yes, or power interconnectors. I assume he's going to win the Student Enterprise Award now.
God, if he doesn't.
I know, who will win it? The name is Sean Fitzgerald and he's from Bandon, so well done to him.
What's happening in Roscommon this week?
Well, last week we were talking about, do you remember that Italian teenager who became a saint?
Mm.
Little did I know I'd be back talking saints again this week. But this time it's about an Irish person who's going to become a saint. So we have a Roscommon priest who's now moved a step closer to sainthood, because on Monday Pope Leo announced that Father Edward Flanagan from Roscommon, who died in 1948, had been recognised as venerable. And when the Pope recognises you as that, you're two steps away from becoming a saint. Basically now the Vatican have to go off and find two miracles associated with him, and then Father Flanagan will become a saint. And why he's got this venerable title? In the 1930s, at a time when many young people were living rough on the streets, Father Flanagan founded Boys Town in Nebraska, which is where young men, young boys, got a solid education and were made to feel at home. Basically, he was the first to do this model of care for disadvantaged boys. And that was actually the subject of a movie called Boys Town, starring Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney. One of Father Flanagan's most famous phrases was, "There's no such thing as a bad boy." He then, by the way, came back to Ireland in 1946 and was horrified at Ireland's industrial schools as well. And apparently politicians weren't happy with his comments about Irish industrial schools. Father Flanagan was born in 1886 in Lee Beg in Roscommon. He was the eighth child of 11 children. And when he was 18, he and his sister went from Cove to Ellis Island in New York. That was in 1904. And as we can see, made a huge lasting impact.
Absolutely. Yeah. What else did we miss in Cork this week?
Summer holiday, no more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on our summer holiday, no more worries for me or you.
Now, well if you haven't your summer holidays booked. Maybe you're worried about flying. I know a lot of people are worried that flight prices are going to go
up.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of people talking about not going near the States, nowhere near the UAE, which probably in turn means that European destinations are going to rocket.
Or go to West Cork, and Cork in general, because the world's most beautiful places for 2026 have been revealed. Now, this was done by Time Out magazine.
Oh, go on.
This is senior hurling. And we're talking towns in Spain here, Indonesia, Portugal, Italy and Ireland, because West Cork officially is the 20th most beautiful place to visit.
Is it the only Irish location or area?
It is
included.
I saw a list of about 50.
And where in West Cork?
Just West Cork in general.
Oh, right, the whole place.
Yeah, the whole place. It's kind of like regional.
Yeah.
Basically, Time Out say that West Cork has colourful towns to explore and nature to uncover. Some of the best things to do here include a road trip, so you can go all around West Cork, which allows you to admire the scenery at length. And they also say you can explore charming villages and towns for the best of Irish hospitality and gastronomy, such as Union Hall, Glengariff and Baltimore. Now, I know it can be quite pricey to go to West Cork, so I assume prices now are going to shoot up even more of Time Out magazine. But well done to everyone in West
Absolutely.
Cork. Nice boost.
What do we miss in Mayo?
Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know.
Well, obviously, Mayo is home to Crowpatrick. Have you ever climbed it?
No. Isn't that desperate?
Yeah, you should. Now, only once.
Have you?
Yeah, only once. And I'll never do it again. The thing about Crowpatrick, now I kept meeting people who were doing it barefoot.
I know, like that, I just think that's nuts. But anyway, fair play to them.
But it's actually going down is harder than going up with Crowpatrick, because I found when you're coming down, you keep slipping on all the loose rocks and stuff. But anyway, we've big historical news coming from Crowpatrick this week, because a pair of standing stones and a series of cairns are among more than 50 undocumented monuments that have been discovered in and around Crowpatrick. The discovery was made by archaeologist called Michael Gibbons, and basically he is now saying that Crowpatrick is a holy mountain that acted as a great ritual canvas where people expressed their spiritual beliefs in stone and monuments. So we knew that Crowpatrick was a very spiritual place. I suppose we didn't know how spiritual it was. So he's discovered a pair of standing stones which are being described as striking and spectacular, and they're set into a stone platform, and they kind of look like, according to him, guardians overlooking the southeastern approaches to the mountain. So all very, very dramatic. The string of cairns he identified marked the line of a now defunct pilgrimage route along the western shoulder of the mountain. So there were other ways of getting up at the mountain and kind of doing a pilgrimage there. Now, Mr. Gibbons was also part of an archaeological team back in the late 90s that found that the church, you know, there's a church on the top of Crowpatrick. They found that the church was the earliest of its type excavated in Ireland and a site of Christian pilgrimage from all the way back in the 5th century. So it sounds like there are more discoveries coming from Crowpatrick as well. Maybe I'll go back. I will say, when I went up to the very top of it, everyone was telling me about the views. It was all fog.
Oh, God. The one time you climbed it.
And apparently there's a lovely view from the top and I didn't see any of it.
Finally. What on earth is that?
Well, this is my story of the week, if not the year, and it comes from Wicklow. You were listening there to a piano-playing cat. And that is...
No way!
Yes, so this is a cat who was playing that tune that they seem to have composed themselves, and now they reckon that the cat is going to be destined for stardom because it's landed a major role in a new TV series. Breaking news pushed this story over the weekend, and I just said I had to include this. So the cat has been described as a feline Liberace. And it's a real miracle.
That's
story.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but actually the cat was abandoned by its mother at just one day old.
Well, here's the X Factor story now, coming out.
Absolutely. But was taken into care by Laura Murphy, who quickly realised that Kit the cat was no ordinary cat, because he began learning tricks within 5 weeks and discovered a most unusual talent when he was placed behind a tiny piano. They actually called the cat Meowtsart.
That is deadly, to
and
be fair.
Kit is now 2 years old, has performed various concerts and has already...
Oh my God.
Kit already starred in the RTE comedy Obituary, as well as the BBC drama Dead and Buried. But now he has just finished filming on a new project where he's going to play a more prominent role. Now, we don't know what the role is because the cat and the owner are both remaining very tight-lipped about this. And actually, Laura Murphy, who adopted the cat, is a dog trainer.
Says
there are similar traits between dogs and cats. So Kit is going to be starring on our screens later this year. The next job is she's going to try and train Kit how to use a human toilet.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Fair play to her.
Big celebrity.
Your plans for the weekend beyond your mother's birthday celebrations?
That's about all, apart from resting after the match. Have you anything, Yvonne?
I am working at the endometriosis conference tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, as you know, we've been covering that here for, you know, a long period of time on the show. So they host their annual event every year. It's out in the Talbot Hotel in Stillorgan tomorrow. But it's a really good opportunity for people, obviously, you know, living with endo, and then for their families too, to learn more about it, to attend. Yeah. There's some really good speakers at that. So I'm at that tomorrow. And then I'm most likely in Croke Park on Sunday
where
hopefully Donegal will win the league final.
Well done on your coverage of endometriosis, because two of my female friends said it to me at the time that they found it so rare to hear that discussed on radio.
To have it, the impact it has on people is unbelievable. Yeah. Shane Beattie back with you 6 on Monday morning.
Have a lovely weekend.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.